Come fly with Global Air Force.
Now, I can be a little spiteful sometimes, and I can't say that I was being led by the Lord here, but I spun that kid around and yelled, "All of you, stop! Turn around! Look at what God has done for this boy in spite of you!" I'm convinced it was the only time that church came together in one mind and in one accord. Everyone stopped and turned in unison, staring. Just dead silence with gaping mouths. It was hilarious. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I see this walker go flying in the air and land on the stage. On the other side, this cane went spinning. And like little children, they all began crying out to God and started running to the front. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus!" We were there until about 2:45 that afternoon. We had a good old-fashioned Pentecostal revival meeting complete with tremendous miracles and healings. God danced among his people for hours. Hey, forget about Wyatt's cafeteria.
Dr. James F. Rome.
I've really been blessed by Dr. James Maloney's book, The Dancing Hand of God. In his book, he relates many events that's happened in his life and other people's lives that is relevant to today. It shows us in this book that God is interested in us. He is willing and able to help us intercede and intercept our lives in a real way, a way that we need. And I want to share that with you today. So you listen and see how this can apply to your life. Today I want to read The Cross-Eyed Boy. And I'm relating the story as if I was Dr. James Maloney himself. Here we go. In a retirement community in California, I was asked to minister at a particular church where the pastor himself was in his 70s. He had been advertising a couple weeks before I was coming to hold a miracle service on Sunday morning. "Bring out the sick," it said. "Bring the afflicted. Brother Maloney is going to share his testimony. If anyone needs baptism in the Holy Spirit, come on out. The power of God will be here." Of course, he later told me that God had not really powerfully moved in the church for many, many years. So there was hardly any expectation for the miraculous among the elderly congregation of about 100 people. I actually found it quite comical as we were sitting on the platform that fine Sunday morning. The dear pastor turned to me and he whispered, "Brother Maloney, we're so appreciative that you're here, and we have been advertising the last couple weeks. We want to give you plenty of opportunity for ministry. We want miracles and healings, but we also want to hear about your testimony. So take a few minutes and share that because, well, there's some people here that are not saved, and they're all pretty old, and many of them don't have too many years left. Several need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you can minister to them for that as well." Sure, I smiled, of course. He went on to say, "Now you're going to turn the service, we are going to turn the service over to you about 11:20, and you'll need to be done about 10 afternoon, okay?" "Oh, that's absolutely impossible. How can I do all that in less than an hour?" "Well, you got to realize," he said, "that at 10 after 12, it doesn't matter who's preaching. I mean, Jesus himself could be on the platform. They are going to get up and walk out on you." "Why?" This suddenly wasn't sounding too good to me. He said, "Because they're elderly and they don't move too quickly, and they have to beat the Sunday crowds down at Wyatt's cafeteria." I just shook my head as the pastor got up to start the praise and worship. Sure enough, at 12:10, halfway through my testimony, about 3/4 of the people stood up and began to walk out. The pastor was thoroughly embarrassed. How rude, I thought. I felt a flash of anger whiff through me, and I'll admit, it wasn't the righteous indignation of God, you know. It was me. I was just mad. Now, the only thing that saved me in this situation was that a lot of them had walkers and canes, so they moved very slowly toward the exits. But there was no way I was going to minister to anybody. So I shut my Bible and I sat down. I was just fuming. The pastor was muttering apologies. The elderly people were still shuffling toward the foyer. One of the few people remaining seated in the service was a boy about 10 years old. He and his younger brother were the only children in the whole church. I found out later their unsaved parents sent them. They lived up the road, and they sent them just to get rid of them for a few hours on a Sunday morning. They told them to go find a church, it didn't matter which one, and go to Sunday school. The boy and his little brother happened to walk into this church several weeks earlier and became the entire youth program. They were the only two kids in Sunday school class, so the elderly people got them saved and baptized in water, and they just loved on those boys like prized possession. But the eldest boy was just about as cross-eyed could get. I mean, it was so bad that when he looked into your eyes went cross too. I heard the pastor saying, "This coming Sunday, Brother Maloney will have a healing miracle service, so come on out. Expect your miracle." When I sat down in disgust, this boy thought his opportunity was passing him by. Without asking anyone, he just came forward and stood there, right in front of the pulpit, not saying anything, just staring at me and the pastor. After a few seconds, I figured I better find out what he wanted, so I got up and leaned over the pulpit to see him better. He looked up at me. His eyes were crossed. My eyes went crossed and started to water. I asked the most ridiculous question a minister has ever asked behind a pulpit before. "What would you like Jesus to do for you?" "Well, what do you think?" He stared at me. "I want to see straight." At first, I didn't feel any anointing because I was angry at the people leaving. But I remember stepping down off the platform, and he shut his eyes, eagerly awaiting his miracle. Compassion suddenly flowed out of my spirit, and I prayed for him for about 30 seconds. When he looked up at me, his eyes were as straight as could be. Now, I can be a little spiteful sometimes, and I can't say that I was being led by the Lord here, but I spun that kid around and yelled, "All of you stop! Turn around! Look at what God has done for this boy in spite of you!" I'm convinced it was the only time that church came together in one mind and in one accord. Everyone stopped and turned in unison, staring. Just dead silence with gaping mouths. It was hilarious. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I see this walker go flying in the air and land on the stage. On the other side, this cane went spinning. And like little children, they all began crying out to God and started running to the front. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus!" We were there until about 2:45 that afternoon. We had a good old-fashioned Pentecostal revival meeting complete with tremendous miracles and healings. God danced among his people for hours. Hey, forget about Wyatt's cafeteria. So, until we meet again, go with God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Would you like to have Jim Rome come to your group, church, or special event? Dr. Rome is interested in hearing from you. You can call Global Air Force at 412 412-466-5655. That's Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. You can get in touch with Dr. Jim Rome by logging on to globalairforce.net. That's globalairforce.net.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at gate 1.